Hiking in lightning. Hiking in lightning.
Spack Brothers Pizza, joined you in supporting WRCT Pittsburgh. Spack Brothers Pizza offers pizza, hoagies, and wings while specializing in vegan and vegetarian alternatives. Spack Brothers Pizza uses no refined sugars in its sauce and unbleached flour in its dough. Spack Brothers is committed to safety during the ongoing pandemic by providing online ordering and payment, as well as contact-free pickup. You can learn more about online ordering on SpackBros.com, and you'll receive a text message when your food is ready to pick up. For more information, call 412-362-SPAK or visit their website at spackbrothers.com. That's 412-362-7725 or spakbrothers.com. If you're interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. If you're looking for another show to check out on WRCT, consider tuning into Dr. Osi's Tembo Sound Show. The Tembo Sound Show is a uniquely crafted radio show mixed and presented live by the scholar-practitioner Dr. Oscar Ridoli on WRCT Pittsburgh on Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. For playlists of past shows, visit serato.com/playlist/tembo_sounds. Another show you can consider tuning into is Law & Disorder. Law & Disorder is a weekly independent radio program. Law & Disorder Radio gives listeners access to legal perspectives on issues concerning civil liberties, privacy, right to dissent, and the practices of the U.S. government. Mondays, 9 to 10 a.m. This is WRCT Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Still tuned in to WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3. This is a show called Nuclear Tapes, hosted by me, Claude Glass. On this show, we attempt to map the musical genome, digging into a certain artist's DNA. And on today's episode, that means looking at the wonderful music of Kay LeBon. Our first three sets have looked at some of her most obvious influences, and that third set looked at a few of her contemporaries, ending with her collaborative project with Tim Presley, called Drinks. If you want to see anything on that set list, feel like you missed anything, or you want to listen to an archive of past episodes, it's always posted over on reptiliansnackrecords.com/nucleotapes and over on the Reptilian Snack Records Instagram page. If you have any questions or comments, concerns, suggestions for future shows, you can email me at reptiliansnackrecords@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you, whatever you're thinking. On these next two sets, we are going to look at some of the modern music that seems to be partially inspired by Kay LeBon, or at the very least draws from a similar set of influences as Kay LeBon, synthesizing elements of angular, unexpected outsider rock, sensitive and personal introverted 60s folk and psychedelic rock, kind of more generally, you know, bands like the Velvet Underground, stuff like that. So first, we are going to hear the solo record from Bridget Dawson. Bridget Dawson and the Mothers Network. The album's called Ballet of Apes. Bridget Dawson is a member of the incredibly prolific band led by John Dwyer, the OCs. Although I guess they might be currently going by OCs, OCS. They've gone by a lot of names. But personally, I love moments in the OCs' discography where they're not afraid to get a little bit more gentle. Of course, everybody knows that they can totally rock out, shred. But yeah, when they aren't afraid to really lean into the songwriting and just show off a little bit more of those gentle textures, some more folksy guitar tones, things like that, which I think they do really well on the live record, Hounds of Foggy Notion. We played a track from that last week, or no, 2 weeks ago? We played a track from that recently. But I think this solo record from Bridget Dawson really shows a lot of those elements. It's like an entire record of that. The moments from OC's records that I really love. So coming across this record was just such a welcome surprise. A very cool psychedelic folk record. It was just released last year in 2020. Definitely worth a listen if this track appeals to you. We're going to be hearing track 2 called The Fool. Moving on from there, we're going to be checking out a song by Megabog from their 2019 release Dolphine. We'll listen to I Hear You Listening. Much like Kate LeBon's music, this record from Megabog is not afraid to work in some really unexpected, unconventional instrumentation into a decently poppy song structure. Yeah, a sort of similarly dynamic, intelligently constructed song. Reminds me of a lot of my favorite parts of Kate LeBon's music. I'd be surprised if Megabog wasn't a fan. Then we're going to end this set with a wonderfully poppy indie rock track, a collaborative project between Golden Suns and Warpaint. Warpaint's been around for quite a while in the sort of indie rock live scene, opening for a lot of high-profile acts, appearing on some prominent TV music shows and stuff like that. I thought it'd be interesting to add a Warpaint song to the set list because Kate LeBond has collaborated with the drummer in that band, Stella Mazgawa. Warpaint makes some excellent kind of artsy rock that reminds me of a lot of my favorite parts of the sort of mid-2000s indie rock boom. Some really soaring, atmospheric indie pop with psychedelic elements. And yeah, the track that we're going to be checking out is one of their most recent, that collaborative project. It just came out this year, 2021. It's called Empty. But before we get there, one more track from Kate LeBond. This one's called The Light. It's also on 2019's Reward.
The light, the light, the light, the light. Say hello. So what?
Hey, you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3. I'm Claude Glass, this is Nucleotapes. On today's episode, we are digging into the records and career of Welsh musician Kate Laban. If you want to see anything from our previous sets, or listen to an archive of past episodes, it's always posted over on reptiliansnackrecords.com/nucleotapes and the Reptilian Snack Records Instagram page. We just heard a set of modern bands that draw from similar influences as Kate Laban, or are inspired by Kate Laban. Some of her collaborators and friends. But yeah, mostly just bands that kind of draw from similar places of influence. And I would suspect probably draw some influence from Kate Laban in a really primary way, a really direct way. We're going to keep that rolling in the next set here. And we're going to start things off with a local band. One of my favorite local bands, Glam Hand. From their most recent EP, Glum Hum, we're going to be checking out a track called Dylan. which features a stripped down, almost minimal guitar part and vocal, kind of proving that you can make some pretty psychedelic, evocative stuff, and you don't have to rely on a mountain of effects or, yeah, just hiding behind a mountain of reverb or anything like that. It's got a really delightful analog quality to it. I think what struck me about Glamhand immediately after seeing them at a couple of local shows, I don't know, on basic terms, just the quality of the songwriting. It's quality in a way that I feel like you don't often see in a local band, which is the basic elements of the song are there. You know, it's all stuff that's really good sound to songwriting, but it's not trying too hard. It's not overcomplicating things. It's not just a mountain of really convoluted, overly poetic allusions or something like that. It manages to retain this tongue-in-cheek sense of humor. I just think it's so rare to see somebody at a local show that's writing songs that are seriously good, but also don't take themselves too seriously. And yeah, I think this track is an excellent example of that. Has a definite VU vibe, or a Tim Presley vibe. I think, I know that the members of the band are fans of Kate LeBond. I just saw them post something online about how they just put up a set of songs that they recorded sort of pre-pandemic at a live show at Government Center, which I attended. It was a great show. If you want to listen to any of those tracks, the link is posted over on their Instagram page, Glamhand Band, which will take you to their Bandcamp page, glamhand@bandcamp.com. Cool stuff is happening in the town that you live in. Moving on from there, we're going to check out a 2017 track from Carl Del Forno from an EP titled The Garden. Similarly psychedelic, but takes a much different approach. Whereas in that Glamhand song, you can very easily identify the instruments that are being played in this Carl Del Forno track. I don't know that I can concretely identify anything musical that's happening in the song. Still manages to be kind of poppy and hooky, but even the drums are like not really drums. They're being put through some weird filter or some. It sounds like they're being piped into a metal box with contact mics in it or something. It's just some very mid-heavy drums that I can't really pinpoint. Even the guitar sound is just like sort of weird swells of feedback. An excellent collage of experimental sounds that still managed to come across in a really poppy and interesting way. Her 2019 record is definitely also worth checking out. Maybe a little bit more straightforward than the track we're about to hear. That one's called Look Up Sharp. Definitely looking forward to seeing where she goes from here and what's next for her career. After that, probably the poppiest, most easily identifiably modern tracks of this set list, which is going to come from Becca Mancari from her recent 2020 release, The Greatest Part. We're going to be checking out the first track from that, entitled Hunter. Yeah, it's a wonderful experimental pop record. Some really cool guitar tones on that. I just love the super compressed fuzz guitar sound on this thing. Definitely worth checking out the lyrics and the vocal repetition on a lot of the tracks. Especially track 7, Lonely Boy, really are ear-catching. I think I just picked this one because it's a little bit more angular and gets at that, kind of oblique approach that Kate LeBond adopts on a lot of her songs as well. Then we're going to be closing our set off with an artist called Astral Brain, who I just kind of randomly stumbled upon on Instagram as I was putting this show together, and I thought, whoa, this is actually a great, I need one more song, and this is a great fit for our show. And then I noticed that they had some Spotify playlists that were posted on their account that were just lists of artists that I really love. So I had to message them and just be like, I can't believe you're into, you're making like psych folk, it's really cool. But you're also into Piero Emiliani, who's like my favorite, one of my favorite soundtrack composers. And they just said that, yeah, he was also their favorite Italian soundtrack composer, which maybe that sounds super niche and specific to everyone else in the world, but to me, I was like, yeah, that's a good choice. Yeah, they just seem like kind of fellow music nerds, excited to see what songs they put out in the future. They just released a cover of a Beach Boys track, California Girls, in 2020. We're going to be checking out a single from 2019 called 5,000 Miles. A really cool, experimental, psychedelic pop or psychedelic folk song. But before we get there, we're going to hear our last Kate LeBond song of the night. the closing track from her 2016 release, Crab Day. The song's called What's Not Mine. Thank you.
say I'm gonna hunt you down. I'm gonna hunt you down. I am the prophet. Hey, I am the savior. Well, I am the prophet. Hey, I am the savior. Letters in the mailbox say I'm gonna hunt you down. Letters in the mailbox.
I'm too shy. I'm too shy.
right, that's going to do it for this episode of Nucleotapes on WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3. Hopefully you learned a little something about Kate LeBond's music, her influences, modern artists that draw from a similar set of influences. And I'll see you back here next week, Monday nights, 5 to 7, and Thursday mornings, 11 to 1. The set list and the archive is always posted on reptiliansnackrecords.com/nucleotapes and the Reptilian Snack Records Instagram page. See you next week.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
There's a really interesting debate happening within my audience, within you fine folks. And the debate is it better or worse if Republicans, right-wingers, Trumpists, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Mike Lindell and others, is it better or worse if they really believe Trump's lies and the lies being told by Republicans about the 2020 election or whatever? Or if they don't believe them, but repeat them anyway, which is worse in terms of what it means about them as people, about the American political landscape, about humanity, quite frankly. And the jumping off point for this debate was actually the story that I did yesterday, where we talked about a text message that was leaked from MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell to Donald Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. The text messages from shortly after the 2020 election. And it's a very long, the text message is almost as long as one of those CVS receipts, you know, 6-7 feet long. And in the text message, Mike Lindell at least appears to really believe Trump won. He's got the evidence. He's got the machines. He's got all the different stuff. And he texts Mark Meadows and says, we've got to keep fighting and let's do this and let's do that. So at least apparently it seemed to be sort of like the proof we were looking for to tell us that Mike Pillow is not just saying this stuff. He genuinely, sincerely, deeply believes it. And the video got close to 100,000 views in the first few hours. And it's a story of great interest to many of you. There's basically two perspectives here. One view is, this text message proves that Mike Pillow really believes it and that this makes him, to quote one of our viewers, less psychotic. Because if it were true that Trump really won the election and it were stolen, right? Imagine that it were true that Biden stole it from Trump. If it were true, it would be logical that if you care about democracy, you would be doing everything you can to get the word out. You would be spending, if you're Mike Pillow and you have the money, you'd be spending your money to try to prove that indeed it was stolen and to try to overturn it. In other words, if Pillow and others didn't really believe the election was stolen, but they were out there saying it anyway, they would be truly depraved and dishonest. Whereas if they really believe it, but they're wrong, they're just wrong. They're less nutty in a sense. That's one perspective that people in the audience had. Now, the problem with really believing it is that it's absolutely horrifying that people could fall for something so obviously untrue. So it's disturbing and it's dystopian, but in a different way. Now, there's another perspective, and that perspective came through in some of the responses I got, which is, even though Mike Pillow did text this to Mark Meadows, it really still doesn't prove that Pillow is a believer. And the idea there was Pillow was knowingly planting stuff so that later, if it came out, it would look like he was a true believer. I actually find that sort of hard to believe, to be honest, having spoken to and interviewed Mike Pillow on the show. And we've been observing him now for, you know, a couple years since the start of the pandemic. I just don't think that that's how he operates. But it's theoretically possible. It's completely speculative. Now, there's another set of people who are focusing on the money that Pillow spent as kind of the proof. And it's true that he has spent a bunch of money pushing all of these different challenges and getting voting machines and paying IT people and all of this stuff. And for what? Why has he been spending all of that money? A supposedly sane person might spend, you know, you spend your first 100 grand on this nonsense. And then you realize this isn't going to work to put Trump back in office. Trump's now been out of office for closer to 2 years. I'm going to give up the spending. And every single week he's making some promise he obviously can't keep. And so he must be a true believer, because no reasonable person would keep hemorrhaging money for something that's obviously going nowhere. There's no reward in sight. It makes no sense. He must believe it and just be out of his gourd.